That's great. You can be seated. Great to have you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, welcome. Great to have you here as well. James chapter 5 is where we're going, 17 to 18. We're going to look at the scripture this morning. I've got a word in my heart. I'm excited about it. Thank you so much for helping me there and filling that up, because it just helps me when I don't see empty seats in the front. You know, I go to some churches and everybody starts sitting about the third row. And I thought, I don't want a church like that. It used to be like that here. And some places I go to, and you can't get a front row seat. Everybody wants a front row. And I said, now what's the difference between churches who can't get a front row seat and those that don't want to sit in the front row? And I thought, it's only one thing. Either they're shy, or they come late. James chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Now get this in your spirit. He was a man just like we are today, just human, and he prayed, made a declaration out of his mouth that it would not rain. That's basically what he did. And the scripture says it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now that's pretty powerful. Next scripture. And he prayed again. Everybody say, he prayed again.
Amen.
All right. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Know something about this particular text. Things, conditions, circumstances that surrounded Elijah's life were under the dominance and control of what he prayed. Whew. What he said created conditions and circumstances to support what he said. He said, it's not going to rain. And guess what? There was no rain on the earth. Then he said, let it rain. And not only did it rain, I like this, but it caused the earth to produce its fruit. And I want to introduce to us today, there is fruit to be produced that's waiting on what you say. There is fruit that is waiting to come forth, but can't break through the earth, can't come forth through the normal natural resources and patterns until you declare it out of your mouth. Come on, look at somebody and say, there's a whole lot more in your mouth than what you thought. Amen. You see, Elijah in 1 Kings, you might want to go back to 1 Kings chapter 8, 17. Elijah was about to engage in a battle of epic proportions. The Bible says that he was about to confront Ahab and all the prophets of Baal. In chapter 18 and verse 21, he was going to call fire down from heaven. It was going to consume the sacrifice. He was going to defeat all the prophets of Baal, and he was going to prove that Jesus is Lord. That's where he was going. But before he got to that epic battle, he had to get prepared. And can I declare to us today that there are some battles that are in your future. There are some confrontations that are coming in your life. I want you to write that down. Confrontations are coming. There is evil that is going to try to resist you. There are those powers and principalities that are working through natural circumstances to challenge your anointing. Now, before you get to that battle, you've got to be prepared. How many want to call fire down from heaven? Amen. I want to be able to call fire down from heaven. But before I can get there, I've got to prepare and learn how to walk in simple obedience. Say that word with me, simple. Simple obedience. Simple obedience is this: believing God at His word and trusting that it will come to pass. Believing God at His word and trusting that it will come to pass. Hebrews 5 and 8 declares of Jesus, He learned obedience through the things he endured. King James says suffered. Suffered there does not mean pained or broken down or heavily burdened. It means he endured. He held up under the pressure. He learned obedience through the resistance in his obedience. He learned that obedience works and obedience pays off when you endure through the resistance. So we see in Isaiah chapter 1 and 19 that if you are both willing and obedient, what did it say? You shall eat of the good of the land. Now go back to James 5 and 17, 18 in your mind. We said Elijah was a man like a nature like ours who prayed and it did not rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again and it rained and the earth brought forth its fruit. So we see that if we are willing and obedient, we shall eat of the good of the land. The land in where God has placed you and planted you has good in it, has fruit in it. But we need to get the fruit out of the land. But willing and obedience, being willing and obedient, are the two primary keys to begin to tap into the fruitfulness that's already in your land. Now, don't despise your land. Don't despise your land. You say, well, I might be in a famine. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm in a famine. Isaac was in a famine, and he sowed in a famine and reaped 100-fold in the same year. Now, there were others who were in the same land as Isaac, but they didn't reap the 100-fold because they didn't know how to bring the fruit out of the land in which they dwell. We can say, well, it's because I don't have an education, or I live in this city, or I don't have opportunities, or I don't have this kind of education. Listen, don't start finger pointing and playing the blame game as to where you are in life, but begin to initiate and work the principles of God's word and realize that there is fruit in the land in which you dwell. See, Israel is the perfect example. Israel in 1950 was nothing but a wasteland. It was nothing but rocks and barren land. But if you were to go to Israel today, you would see a nation that blooms. Did you know that Israel is the number one exporter of flowers? It's not Holland. When you think of Holland, you think of tulips. Israel exports more flowers than any other nation on the earth. The scripture said that he would cause Israel to once again bloom. So you may be in a situation of wilderness or a barren land, but don't look at the land that's not producing fruit. Look at the obedience simply to the word of God and realize that there's fruit in that land. If I am willing and obedient, I'm going to eat good out of it. See, so God is able to turn things around. Look at somebody and say, he can turn it around for you. Now go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. If you're there, say amen. All right, a few of you already beat me. Chapter 17. I want to read verses 1 to 7. And Elisha the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, that's interesting and that's key in this whole teaching this morning, that Ahab is the authority that ruled over Elijah and Israel. Ahab was the ruling power and principality. Notice the scripture says that he spoke to that authority. He spoke to that ruler, that one that was established as the dominant force in the land. He spoke directly to it with a greater authority because this is what he said. As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Everybody say, except at my word. I'm having you say these things because this is critical. It's important to get these points because if you don't get these points, you won't transition into the next concept or the next thought, and you won't build the philosophy of how to get the fruit out of the land in which you dwell. So it says, except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward. Hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now, he had never had a raven bring him a hamburger and fry before, but he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He didn't question it, didn't ask it, didn't debate it, didn't go to the preacher to ask if he should, didn't call his prayer partner on the phone, he didn't look it up in the encyclopedia, didn't call Benny Hinn's prayer line, didn't go to anybody else. He just got a word from God, and he went and did what the word of the Lord told him to do. All right? So it tells him that he went there, and verse 5, and did according to the word of the Lord, and he stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. But, verse 7, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now get this in your mind. Here he is, Elijah, the prophet of God, speaks the word of the Lord to Ahab, the dominating force and the ruler and principality in that land that's keeping it barren. He speaks to him a word from the Lord and says, at my word there will be no rain. At my word there will be rain. Then God says to him, here, now that you've confronted your authority, I want you to go hide at this brook. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you water to drink out of this brook, and I'm going to give you ravens to bring you food. So you stick it there, and you just hang out there until you get further instruction. Now the problem is, on the interim, the brook began to dry up. He noticed one day over the next day how it wasn't flowing with as much force. Suddenly, a week later, it was down to a trickle. Now, I don't know about you, but in my humanness, I would begin to think, I'm in trouble. It looks as though that the water is about to quit. And if I don't have water, I'm going to die. So what I need to do is I need to get instruction from God's word. Now the Lord tells him that the brook's going to dry up and the ravens are, he doesn't tell him that the brook's going to dry up or the ravens are going to stop coming, but he gives him a word from the Lord about where to go. Now listen, this is the critical part, church. He said back in verse 1, there will be no rain according to my word. There will be rain according to my word. If you were in a place where there was no water, your and my tendency in the natural would be, well, doggone it, all I got to do is say rain and it's going to rain. He could have taken matters into his own hands. When we are in a spot that appears to be difficult, there is a temptation for us to take our own initiatives in order to resolve the problem that we're in. Does anybody have a tendency to do that beside me? Okay, there's 12 of us in here that are honest, and the rest of you need to get saved. Come on now, you know that. We got to figure this out, don't we? We got to figure out how we can get out of this mess that we're in. And oftentimes we'll sit down and here's the brook dried up and it said, man, I made this mess for myself. If I would have never agreed with God's word, if I would have never put myself out there and challenged the authorities, look what I did now. I should have left well enough alone. I went in there and told the ruling authority and power and principality over this land what's going to happen by the word of the Lord, and now look at this mess. You know how many times I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, since I've been tithing and coming to church, all hell's broke loose in my house. I've got more trouble now than I've ever had. This thing doesn't work. I thought I was supposed to be blessed, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Ain't nobody putting nothing in my hand. They're taking things out of my hand. What's this word that you're preaching about prosperity? Has anybody ever had that kind of experience? You start believing God and things start crashing and burning. God, this doesn't make sense. It makes sense for me now to take matters in my own hand. I'm going to retract the word that I gave to my ruler and power and principality over my life. I'm not going to confront evil any longer. I'm just going to be passive. I'm just going to go to church and mind my own business. I'm not going to try to change my life. I don't mind living in this 5x8 cell. I mean, after all, they feed me 3 times a day. So if you're content to live where you are, then go ahead and keep saying what you've said. But if you're not content to dwell in the land of what you've known, then we've got to begin to not take matters in our own hands, but get a word from God. So he had to resist from prophesying rain. Passivity often leads to the wrong place. Confronting evil will lead you to the right place. Now, why is the right place important in your life? Because God sends provision to the right place. And if you're in the wrong place, provision will pass you by. There is no forwarding address from the right place to the wrong place. If we're not following the command of the Lord, provision follows the command. Provision follows obedience and willingness. You shall eat of the good of the land. But if we're not willing and obedient, we're not going to eat the good of the land. God sends the ravens to the brook Cherith, and the prophet goes to the brook Samuel. And here comes the water, and here comes the ravens to feed him, and they can't find him. The Bible doesn't say that they go back to heaven, and God says, well, you know what, he didn't listen to me, so go down to the brook Samuel, he's over there, and I don't know what's wrong with that stupid prophet of mine. No, the ravens drop off the food where it ought to be. And I'm wondering this morning, how many of us, because we've been so passive in the kingdom of God, and haven't spoke to the authorities and rulers and powers and principalities over our life, and have held on to the Word of God, even when it doesn't look logical, have missed the right place in our life, and God has sent provision, but we're not there to receive the provision. I got to get myself in the right place this morning. Come on, tap two or three people around you and say, get in the right place. Now, you got to work with me here this morning. Come on, I just need you to get a little aggressive. I need you to shout a little bit. I need you to clap your hands. Come on, somebody give God praise in here this morning. Come on. I'm in the right place. Hallelujah. You see, verse 6 says, provision was commanded to meet him there. And if you're not there, he ain't going to find you. But something happens that's fairly powerful in verse 8. 1 Kings 17 and verse 8, here's what happens. It begins to develop the whole story. It says, the word of the Lord came to him, saying. Now, God spoke. He said, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath. That's the place that belongs to Sidon. Sidon was a place of faithlessness and curse, and it was a Canaanite city. And God said, I want you to go to that place that's cursed. I want you to go to a place that doesn't have the blessing and the promises of my covenant on it. I want you to go to a place where there is no prosperity. Now the prophet's saying, okay, God, now look. I went to this brook chair thing and that was cool. The brook dried up. I could have spoke, let it rain, and I could have met my own need. I don't even need you, really. But he resisted not needing God. If at this hour we need to do anything in America because of the prosperity level that we can have even on welfare compared to most nations on the earth, third world nations, people in welfare here would live like a king and queen in third world nations. If we can live like that without God, then what do we need God for? So we find ourselves oftentimes resisting God's word to take matters in our own hands. You following what I'm saying? So he tells him to go to Zarephath. Then he says this, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now know something about the Bible. The Bible says that prophets are supposed to take care of orphans and widows. Widows are not supposed to take care of prophets. So God gives the man of God an illogical word. I want you to go to this city that's cursed, and I want you to go to a woman who has need to be supported by the kingdom. And you're going to go to a place that's cursed, and I'm going to cause a woman who normally needs to be supported to support you. And you sit there and go, yeah, right, God, like spring seed really works. It's an illogical conclusion in our mind. How could me giving and sowing into a word that God gives me literally change my future? Doesn't make sense. This is where most people get tripped up, because they begin to believe and think in their own mind that this is illogical and it will not flush out the way you're telling me. Now here's the point. It won't if I'm the only one telling you. You've got to make sure that God gives you a word about what you are to sow in spring seed. You can't just do it because the church has a beautiful little butterfly up there and it says spring seed, new life. You're going, well, yeah, I'm going to believe God for increase. You've got to get a word from the Lord. See, you've got to get a word from the Lord. Now, this prophet had a word from the Lord. And so what happened as a result is that he had to believe an illogical word. He had to go to an unlikely place and meet an unlikely person. And it wasn't the place or the person that would meet his need. It was the word that was spoken about the place and the person. So you see, when God gives you a word, you can't say, well, when I get to that church will meet my need. When I move here, or when I involve myself in this business is going to meet my need. See, that's the biggest mistake we make. It's not the business, or it's not the location, it's not the person that meets our need. It's the word that God gave you about where to go and who to hook up with. So our emphasis has to be on the word and not the person, because most of the time when you go see the person, they don't look like they can do anything for you. This was a widow. This was a city that was cursed. It's like saying, I need you to go move into the inner city where the crime rate is the highest and build a house, a brand new house, your dream home. You're going, you're crazy. But if God said, I'm going to bless you there, if you're obedient and willing, you'll eat the good of the land. See, we have to go on the word of the Lord, even though it seems totally illogical to our natural mind. So I know that I'm not being met, my need or not is not being met by the person or the place. It's by the word of God. Everybody say, it's by the word of God. Now in verse 10, we find in 1 Kings chapter 17, these words, so he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Now what did he do? The first thing that he did, when he got to the place, he put a demand on what he had heard from God. Good. You know, Sunday after Sunday you get a word. Don't let that word fall to the ground. Make a demand on that word. Say, God, I heard a word today. I heard a word out of the music, or I heard a word out of the preaching, or I heard a word out of exhortation. You got to get that word and make a demand on it. So the first thing he did is he looked for a widow. As soon as he got to the city gate, he walked in the door and he's looking for a widow. And he finds one. Now here comes the challenge. She's gathering sticks. This woman doesn't have sticks in her house to make a fire to cook anything. She's out here gathering sticks. How is she going to meet my need? You know how your mind begins to work? That's why you can't look at the person or the place. You've got to stay your mind on the word of God. He who keeps his mind stayed on the word shall have what? Perfect what? Say it loud. Perfect what?
Peace.
What's peace? Nothing missing? Come on. Shalom. Everything. The whole thing. I keep my mind on the word. I'm not looking at you. You may not. You don't look like much. This place doesn't look like much. But the word is everything. And if I keep my mind stayed on the word, I'm going to have nothing missing. I'm going to have wholeness. I'm going to have nothing broken. I'm going to have perfection. I'm going to see my need met. Is this making sense to you so far? So we find then that he made a demand on what God said. So if God spoke to you about what you should sow in spring seed, we're just giving you the opportunity to sow. You've got to get a word from God about what to sow. And you've got to begin to put a demand on that. Now, I had to put a demand on that. I said, God, I don't have really a significant spring seed to sow. And the Lord said, well, you believe me for a seed? Because I give seed to the sower. If you make a commitment to sow, I'll give you the seed. Now that's easy when you say that and you don't have the seed yet. You say, Lord, whatever you give me, I'm going to sow it. And I remember we talked about this before, and I'll just use it again, but I got a check from somebody. They blessed me with $8,300. They said, Pastor, this is for you. It's a check for $8,300. Whatever you need to use it with, it's yours. How many would say that's a blessing from God? How many are jealous? So the first thing I did with that seed is I took it into my bedroom and laid it on the dresser. And I said, God, until you tell me if this is mine, I'm not going to deposit it. Because I understand something about giving seed to a sower. I'm a sower. And I need to know whether or not I can eat this or I need to plant this. So the Holy Spirit began to speak to us and said, this is for planting. Now I had that money spent before I got to the bank. I'm paying this off. I'm going to give this to that one. I'm going to buy them this, and we're going to take care of that. And we may go on a little dinner date. We're going to take a couple days off. You know, I had spent. Did you ever do that? Get a little money, say, woohoo, hot dog, this thing's already spent. The Holy Spirit said, back up, rewind. I want you to sow this. And so this week, I was just going through mail. It was just junk mail. I thought it was junk mail. And I said, well, I better open this because sometimes I've been known to throw away, you know, invoices. Because it looks like junk mail and it says account information enclosed. And they're lying. They're lying to get you to open up the mail. You ever have those? They're lying. I open it up and it's like, we want to offer you this credit card. I'm ripping it up. I said, oh, you lied to me. It's fraud. I'm going to call somebody about this. How come they're allowed to do this in the mail? Account information enclosed. Well, it is true account information if you choose to sign up for the credit card. But I thought it was my account information. So I opened it up and I looked. I had to look again, and Tina had gone to the store, and I looked, and it was a check. I said, a check? Is this a real check? And it wasn't an invoice. It was a check. It was made out to me. And it was for an overcharge on escrow fees. I didn't know I had an overcharge on escrow fees. But it was for multiple thousands of dollars. I said, look what the Lord hath done. I'm buying shoes. We're going out there. I'm going to buy them. I'm not thinking about all the things I'm going to buy and do. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, you've been praying about spring seed, dude. I said, yeah, God, but I've got these other commitments over here. I give seed to the sower. Now, you're going to sow it or you're going to eat it? So I haven't been able to deposit it yet. You know, it's funny, too, because I open up my wallet, and it is, like, empty. I mean, folks, I've come here with no dollars, but I got a check for lots of them, but it's not mine. You say, well, whose name is on it? Lewis F. Canton. Sounds like you. No, you have to understand, I've been bought with a price. You have to understand, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. You have to understand that this is Jesus' money. Now, some of you are looking at me kind of strange. You know, a little calf at a new gate. Trying to figure out, can I go through this? What do I do? Dog, this is my money. I'm going to cash it. It's mine. No. I understand something about making a demand on what God said. So it sits there until we get a word from the Lord about confirmation of what we do with it. Because I know that many times Psalm 126 says, you take your seed and you sow it in tears, but you will come rejoicing with a great harvest later. That's just a little paraphrase. And that's what we find here now in the remaining portion of this scripture. He said, I found it. I made a demand on the word. Now what I need to do is I need to take it one step further. Look at verse 11. And as she was going, he said, excuse me. I want you to bring me a morsel of bread in your hand with that cup of water. Now remember, there's a drought. It hadn't rained for nearly 3.5 years. And she says, I'm going to get you some water. The most unlikely person to bring provision. You'd look at her and think she's gathering sticks. She's about to die. She didn't have any contacts for water. But she went to get the water. And while she's going to get the water, the prophet says, go get me some bread to go with the water. Now listen, he's not asking her. He's asking the word that came to him about her. Say that again. I'm not asking my spring seed offering to give me bread and water or provision. I'm asking the word that God gave me what to sow to meet my need. I have trust on the word, not on my actions. My actions are as a result of the word, but if I didn't get a word from the Lord about it, you can give until your cows come home and never get a return. Because it's the word that works. Isaiah 55 said, His word does not return. So it tells us then, she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. He said, bring me some bread. She said, I don't have any bread. I only have a handful of flour and a little oil in a jar. See, I'm gathering a couple of sticks and I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. At that point, I would imagine the prophet said, hey, God, what is up with this? I'm up here in Sidon, don't even want to be here, talking to some crazy widow that's about to die. I'm hungry. She said something really powerful. She doesn't have bread. She had what it took to make bread, but she didn't have bread. What did she have? She had what it took to what? Make bread, but she didn't have any bread. She had what it took to produce bread, but she didn't have any bread. She had in her house the ingredients, the investment, the parts and pieces in order to make what was requested. But until she took what she had and gave it, she could not produce what she had need of. You see, what's in your life, what's in your family, what's in your house is often the ingredients that can be given to produce what you need. But until it's released, it's just oil in a jar and it's flour in a bin. And that's what spring seed is all about. It is an opportunity to get a word from the Lord about it. Don't take my word for it. You get a word from the Lord about it. When you get a word of the Lord from the Lord about it, and you begin to make a demand on that word and respond in that word, then what you have and you give it to Him, it will produce what you need. That's a law. Everybody say it's a law. Don't live life against the law. Live within the law. How many times in the epistles did Paul write and said, be subject to civil authority. Be subject to your rulers and those that have authority over you. He was teaching us that law is what produces life. How many are glad for the law of gravity? Amen. I'm glad for the law of gravity, or I'd be up on the ceiling preaching to you on the ceiling. Be floating around in here this morning. So I'm glad for the law. But the law provides the boundary, provides the quality of life so that I desire. So the law of sowing and reaping produces quality of life if I submit to it. If I rebel against it, what does the law do? It becomes a taskmaster. It begins to restrain me. It now, I'm not harmonious with the law. I'm now a rebel against the law. And if I become a rebel against the law, I'm now punishable. I can become punished by the law. So here's what this woman did. She began to act by faith on the word from the prophet. But she already had a word from God about the prophet. Now back up in your mind for a minute. God said, I've commanded a woman to take care of you. So Him coming didn't take her by surprise. She said, I've been waiting on you, preacher. Where you been? You know, I've had people often come to me and say, now, you can't not take an offering. I came here today to sow my seed. Because God gave me a word that I'm to sow into this house. This is good ground. Don't you not take an offering. You know, there are some people that can hardly wait for this day, March 18th. Because God gave them a word. And for me to get up there and say, well, we're not going to receive any offering on that because there are a few people that really don't agree with it and we don't want anybody to misunderstand. And, you know, this church isn't about money. And it's not. It's about principle. Amen. It's about the laws of God's word. When we work the law, we work the principle. See, so many people are living on what they see and what they can feel and what the sensory realm. They don't walk by the Spirit. They don't see the truth of the word beneath the command. So this woman was waiting on this prophet to make a demand on her. She said, okay, God, I'm going to meet his need, but I know something, that when I meet his need, you're going to meet my need. So she went and made the bread out of the flour and out of the oil, and we find that she had to mix it with something. Go over to 2 Corinthians. She had to mix it with something that she didn't have in order to produce what she had need of. Are you following me? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. God said, listen, you don't have to worry about what you don't have. Just have a willing mind, and it's accepted based on what you have. Got a little flour, got a little oil. That's all right, just have a willing mind to bring that to me. And then we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 that when you bring what you have to God, here's what God says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Everybody say, all grace. That you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now watch, here's what God does. He said, you bring what you've got, and I'll add to it what I've got. What does he have? Grace. What does grace do? It provides sufficiency for all things. So when you bring what you have, that little bit, I don't care if it's a couple loaves and a couple of fish, doesn't matter what it is, when you bring it to God, God adds grace to it, and it is able to produce and meet all the need that is present. You understand what I'm saying? So now God adds grace to it. How many need God's grace in your life? You see what I'm saying? Grace is the enabler to bring you through, to bring abundance to your life. So we go on to read in verse 9. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor, for righteousness endures forever. Here it is in verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you've sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So now he's telling us that he's going to bring increase to what you have already sown. But the grace is what produces the increase. It's not by our might, not by our strength, not by my ability, not by the amount that you give. It's not about how many times you do, how hard you pray, how long you shout. It's in accordance with what God said, believing what he said is true, getting a word from God, acting on it, and letting God then add grace to it. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 16, and the bin of flour was not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. According to the word which he spoke by the prophet Elijah. See, ladies and gentlemen, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to be stuck in the middle. Ask somebody next to you, are you stuck? Yeah. Are you stuck? Look at 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 1. It says this, and it came to pass after a few days. What does it say? Many. Shout it. Many. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I'll send rain on the earth. Now God, why couldn't you have done that back at Cherith? Why couldn't you have just spoke the word and give me rain when the brook dried up? Why do you insult me and make me do all these crazy things? Make me go to Sidon, talk to some widow, and believe your word and go against my natural mind and my sensory realm and walk by faith and work your word and add grace to it. Why do you do that? I want you to eat the fruit of the land. That's why. And until you learn obedience, simple obedience, your land can't release the blessings that God has produced in it, in spite of what it looks like, until we learn how to rely upon His Word and not what we see and not what we feel and not what we hear and not what other people think and not how logical it seems to our minds. But it was after how many days? How many days? After many days. And that's why it's difficult, because you sow and you want immediate results. We're in America, microwave generation, fast food. Come on, let's do this. I want to click and I want to be able to see my computer screen filled. I want the answers now. Faster is better. But after many days, the prophet Elijah, a great man of God, he was stuck in the in-between time. He was stuck in the middle where there was no response. And then finally, God said, okay, speak the word. But before you do that, let's go challenge hell. God's setting you up to become a mighty warrior in the kingdom of God and to confront conflict of epic proportions. There is no other line of defense on the earth. We've got to stop thinking that T.D. Jakes and Creflo and Benny and Joel are going to save us. Rod Parson will be coming riding in here on a white horse, and he'll fight the devil for us. Look, those are mighty men of God, but that's not the way the kingdom works. We've got to start learning how to do this for ourselves. We've got to start realizing that we are going to be engaged in a conflict of epic proportions, and God's trying to get us ready. How? By believing Him at His word. When? When it's illogical and it doesn't look right. So that we can what? Eat the fruit of the land. And so in chapter 18, he calls Ahab. He said, get all your prophets from Baal together. Meet me on Mount Carmel. I feel the anointing. That's what he said. I don't know if he said that. That's what I would have said. As he's walking up Mount Carmel, he said, oh, I believe. When I had nothing to drink, God gave me a word. Oh, I left the brook Cherith. Come on, Holy Ghost. And here I come up to Mount Carmel. Fire of God is about to fall from heaven. He's walking by faith. He said, when I had nothing to drink, God gave me something to drink. When I had nothing to eat, God brought me something to drink. It was by a raven's hand, then it was by a widow's hand. I don't know who these prophets of Baal think they are, but they're about to come on down. He was full of great faith because he acted on the word. Dig this, man. This is so awesome. They're all day trying to get the God of Baal to answer them. He begins to make fun of them. Where's your God at? Is he in the bathroom? Ha, ha, ha. They're cutting themselves and no response. Then it's his turn. He said, go get me some water. Hey, prophet, there ain't no water in this land. Go get me some water. And he fills a trench around the altar with water. Not once, not twice, but three times. And he soaks the wood. He offers what there is none of. To God. He lays water on a sacrifice to prove that He is God above all things, even when you don't have enough. What's He doing putting all that water up there? Don't you know that we're starving? We're this is a drought? He's putting that water on there? All of Israel looking. I hope this works. I hope Pastor doesn't get sued. I hope God shows up here. You better pray for the man of God because he's crazy. Right? He gets this thing and he starts to pray. And the Bible says that fire came out of heaven, licked up the water around the sacrifice. Now listen, you're either going to win that epic battle or you're going to lose it. But you're going to the battle.
I don't like that kind of preaching, Pastor. I just want to talk about tulips and tiptoeing. And the blessing of God. The blessing of God. I just want to be blessed, blessed, blessed.
Let me tell you something. Some of us have to fight for our blessing. when you're in the in-between times, church. Resist the temptation to take matters into your own hands. When you're in the in-between times, trust God at His Word, even when it appears totally illogical. I'm looking for people on that date, by faith, to sow a significant seed. Say, I don't have anything to sow. Ask God for the seed because He gives it to the sower. I showed you mine. I don't know what all I'm going to do with it, but it's still in here. You know how bad I wanted to spend? I spent it 3 times. Not once. Have you ever spent something more than once? I mean, it's gone in my mind. But I've learned a secret. I'm not going to let myself to be defeated without getting a word from God first. Because if I can get a word from God, I can surf that thing all the way to shore. Let me tell you something. One word from God will change your life forever. And Elijah's life was changed forever, but so was a widow's. Now, I'd go on if I had the time, but I don't, and I don't choose to. But it tells us that that widow's son died, and the prophet resurrected him. It doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what I say. I don't care. It's spring seeds of the devil. It's not from God. Pastor's just trying to get rich. Remember what she said? What'd she say? I'm gathering some sticks here. Going to make myself a little bread to eat. My son and I are going over there. And what are we going to do? What'd she say we're going to do? She prophesied his death. What did he do? But when there's grace, what does God do when there's grace? Come on, somebody. What does God do when there's grace? He sends a word. And the prophet with the anointing of God resurrected him and gave her son back to him. But that bin and that flour, I imagine people were coming and showing up going, hey, I just want to see that bin that ain't never been emptied. I want to see that oil jar. How's that thing keep working like that? Now, it doesn't say it ended. Don't get it confused with the other story of the vessels. But I don't know that the scriptures, does the scripture say it ended? Where's the theologians in here? It doesn't say that it quit, did it? All right, it will not run dry until the rain comes. And what is the rain going to do? Bring fruit out of the land. It's like the manna. You can have manna until you get to the promised land. Then you don't need it anymore, because in the promised land, it's a land flowing milk and honey. Some of us are in transition now, man. We're in transition. I'm telling you, we can change this whole region by these principles. We can change this whole city. You can change your whole condition. You can call things that are not as though they are. I'm telling you, you get a hold of this principle. You get that prophetic principle into your life. Church, I'm telling you, it's so powerful. It's awesome. Every head bowed, let me ask this question. You say, preacher, you know what? I'm here this morning. I'm hearing about God and His provision. I'm hearing about how God speaks, and I can believe His word. And even though I don't understand it, I can still initiate it. And you know what? I'm not even born again. I don't know that if I were to die today, I'd even go to heaven. My God, I'm out of relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pray for me, preacher. That's you this morning. Nobody looking around. I just want you to do something. On the count of three, I want you to throw your hand up in the air. Hold it there for a minute so I can see it. I want to agree with you in prayer. Are you ready? You want heaven and not hell. You want eternity with God and not the eternity with the devil. You're ready to embrace God's word and leave this world behind. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, lift your hand up. Come on, lift it up high. Lift it up high. Hold it up there. One, two, and three. Hold it up high. Four, five, six, seven. Hold it up high. Somebody else, quickly. Eight. Hold it up high. Wave it at me. Say, I want this thing. 9, 10, 11, 12. Glory be to God. Put your hands down. Yeah, I want you to say this with me nice and loud. Let me have that mic.